He goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sarah in Elk City, Oklahoma. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope your day is going good. Looks like we got some decent temperatures out there. I think hadn't been outside, but looking at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanine Center, we got some wind going on out there. We got a lot to do today. First of all, coming up in our third segment for the last half of the show, if you guys remember last year, I had Dennis Crow on here from the Apache Co-op down in Apache talking about stickers, grass burrs. He's coming back on today, and we're going to talk some more about it. He said he's got some good news and some bad news from last year. So that's coming up at 12:30. So if you got any questions about how to get rid of stickers in your yard, your pastures, stuff like that, he's the man. You can text that in. Everything's back to normal in our studio today, the KCO studio. We found the little rat that was causing the problems and in our line. So 580-225-9697 for any questions due to stickers and stuff. Before I get started, because I'll have a guest on the last half, so we need to get this over with the first half. If you're watching on Facebook, I got this really nice hat. The Perfectly Powerful Peanut. It's a hat the National Peanut Board gives out. It's a really nice hat. And whether you grow peanuts or not, you like wearing this hat. It's a really nice hat. I'm going to give that away to the second person today to answer my question correctly. And if you were listening yesterday, you should know the answer. So my question is, do you remember the difference between a Bigfoot on the North Fork of the Red River and a Bigfoot then the difference between it and the one on the South Canadian River? What's the difference? I said Lori Campbell's name when I mentioned that. So if you will give me a pretty close answer, what's the difference between Sasquatch on the North Fork and Sasquatch on the South Canadian, I'll give you a free hat. Let's see how well you guys were paying attention yesterday. I know one guy was. He said he took me out of the wheel since I was, I'm a believer in Bigfoot. So anyway, let's check out some temperatures real quick. 54 degrees at Hollis, 53 at Elk City, 52 at Arnett, 54 at Cherokee out here in the panhandle of Texas, 55 at Miami, 52 at Dozer, 59 at Childress, and 56 at Odell. Okay, I got a couple quick things to go over with you guys with real quick. Let me bring up my email. Bear with me here a second. I thought I had it up, but I didn't. It's from the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. I want to mention this again for you guys up in Northwestern Oklahoma. It doesn't even have to be from Northwestern Oklahoma. Anybody, where is she at? Bear with me a second here. That was yesterday, so I need to go back. New recording. Here we go. Okay, a couple things going on. If you're looking for a job, the deadline is today. They have two openings in Northwestern Oklahoma for two soil health and regenerative agriculture specialists to help empower Oklahoma's producers and landowners with cutting edge soil health practices. You'll be based in Northwestern Oklahoma, and they're up to $60,000 in pay. Not too bad. If depending on education and all that experience and all that stuff. So if you want to go to the Oklahoma Conservation Commission website, and you'll find that link on there. There's a link on there to apply for that job. Sounds like a pretty nice job. You'll be based, like I said, you'll be based in northwestern Oklahoma. One more thing here. There's another thing coming up at Woodward. There it is. I found it. Bear with me a second. I knew I could find it. Okay. Coming up December 18th, which that'll be, what, a week from today or yesterday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Registration starts at 9:30. This will be at the Woodward County Event Center. It's the Woodward Conservation District. We'll be having the Ranch Conversation. They'll have really a lot of good speakers there on different topics. And also our Oklahoma Secretary of Agriculture, Blaine Arthur, is going to be there. And I might even be up there. You never know. And we got Tanner Swank from Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, and he'll be there. Meg Greske will be there on soil health and all kinds of stuff going on. Let's see here. It is RSVP, if I get to that part of it. Yes, RSVP by calling 580-256-5320 and extension 108, or you can email tom.lucas@gmail.com. The lunch will be compliments of the Bank of Western Oklahoma. They're expecting producers and community leaders from Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado, and New Mexico. So, big deal for you guys up there. Just want to make sure you remind you guys that that's coming up. Also, I have a deal from I got a text message. What do you guys think? I need your opinion on this. Also, what should a person charge for Bigfoot hunts? Here we go. I got this from David Nolan. He is our executive director of the Oklahoma Peanut Commission. The OSU Extension is going to be having a master irrigator program, talking about irrigation scheduling, crop choices, and irrigation systems. Location will be at the Caddo Kiowa Technology Center at Fort Cobb coming up January 22nd. I'm going to mention this probably about once a week. And it's, like I said, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's coming up the 22nd and the 29th and February 5th and 12th. It's a $100 registration fee, but it's really valuable stuff that you're going to learn. The program includes classroom training, peer-to-peer exchange of information between producers, and free-of-charge services such as energy audits through mobile irrigation laboratories. Incentives include reimbursements up to $2,000 on purchase of water conservation technologies and additional equip points. Instructors include extension specialists, irrigation specialists, and economists from OSU and adjoining states, producers, crop consultants, and even NRCS personnel. If you're interested, contact Summit Sharma. I think that's how you say it. Assistant professor at the irrigation management at OSU. You can go to OSU Extension, type in irrigation, and I bet this comes up. So that's going to be really, really good. Four different days of it. So let's go, because water, you know, what did he tell me this morning? I've heard it before. Whiskey is, what is that saying? Whiskey is for good times and water's for fighting, something like that. I don't even remember what it was. That's coming up, and this coming up next month in January. So, all right, let's check out what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Grain and soybean futures were a little changed in overnight trading as investors weigh corn ending stocks that came in lower than expected against improving weather in parts of South America. Corn inventories in the 24-25 marketing year that ends on August 31st will likely total 1.738 billion bushels, that's up from a previous outlook of 1.938. according to the USDA. I think they got those numbers flipped around. Analysts polled by Rutgers were looking for a much modest decline to 1.906 billion bushels. Weighing on prices, however, is expectations from weather improvements in Brazil's rainfall in the southern state is forecast to be close to normal for the next 10 days. Ease in flooding in the region, Commodity Weather Group said in a note to its clients. Recent flooded soy areas and Parana and southeast Paraguay will slowly ease in the next few weeks. Corn futures for March delivery fell a penny to 446 and a half a bushel overnight on Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat futures for March delivery rose a half a penny to 563 and three quarter a bushel, while Kansas City futures were down three quarters of cents to 566 and a half a bushel. Soybean futures for January delivery rose a half a penny to 996 a bushel. Soy meal fell 30 cents to 290.80 a short ton, and soybean oil was up 0.08 to 42.52 a pound. Not much else going on. Today is ethanol reports from the EIA. It said ethanol output rose week to week while inventories declined. Production increased to 1.078 million barrels a day in the week that ended December 6. That's up from 1.07 million barrels a day on average. Ethanol production in the Midwest rose narrowly to 1.01 million barrels a day. Basically up 0.1 million. So what's that, 100,000 barrels? Everything else pretty much stayed the same. Rocky Mountain output was down 1,000 barrels a day, and the West Coast declined to 9,000 from 10,000 a week earlier. Everything else looking pretty normal. All right, let's go ahead and take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. If you don't know what to put under the tree this year, Great Plains Kubota is offering a Kubota L2502 with a box scraper and rotary cutter for just $334 a month. That's right, a package deal at $334 a month at 0% APR for 84 months. Now through 12/31/24. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information. Plus, check out the other great Kubota package deals only available at the brand that serves. Great Plains Kubota. Visit GPKubota.com for the location nearest you.
Well, I'll use myself as an example. I go in there, I need oil filters for my tractor or something like that. I'll get the oil filter, whatever I need, any greases for lubing everything up. If I need some electrical fittings or any type of nuts and bolts to fix something that's broke, I can get it there. Any penetrating oils, I mean, just anything that you need, we can get, we have, or we're going to get for you for any type of agriculture or oil field or just working on something around the house, whatever you need. The other three owners, myself, Ronnie Redd, Casey Miller, Brock Kalk, we're all local guys, been here almost all of our lives. We put back into the community. We love Elk City. When you buy through us, you're buying from somebody that's putting it back into the community instead of going to some big corporate office somewhere out of state. We invest back into schools. We sponsor stuff all the time, different sports and just whatever. Camrock is the name of the company. We've got what you need for your agriculture or oil field industry, whatever you need. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse. Three local guys just looking to do business with our community.
Hello, this is Kent Watkins, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. Are you looking for a new place to buy all of your livestock feed, seed, and chemical? Let SEI Agritech be your trusted place to get everything you need. We offer winter feed contracts, buy the bag or bulk. We carry Mixed 30 liquid supplement, Total Equine horse feed, Sure Crop fertilizer, Golden Harvest corn seed, Advanta hay grazer seed, and we also are an authorized dealer for livestock nutrition centers. Give us a call today, follow us on Facebook, come by and SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I'm totally, totally impressed with our listeners. I'm shocked at how many people was listening yesterday or paying attention. They knew the answer to my Sasquatch question. I'm shocked. And we have a winner of the hat. Bill texts me his name back in, and I'll put his name on it, and he can pick his hat up and up front anytime after today's show. So thank you so much for participating. Let's see here. Let's go to Miami, Texas. 56 degrees, humidity's 21, dew point is 16. The winds are out of the southwest at 8. Peak wind gusts so far today, 22 miles per hour. No sub, 40 minutes of sub-freezing minutes and no red flag minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature in Miami, 45 degrees. All right. When I was talking to Mr. Nolan this morning from the Oklahoma Peanut Commission, he wants me to spread the word out there to, especially to the Beckham County and Greer County peanut growers. If you get a text from him with a link, or if you don't, what you can do is Google American Peanut Council, and this link will be on there somewhere. Anyway, it's called the Sustainable U.S. Peanuts Initiative Registration. He would like for all peanut growers to participate in this. It doesn't cost you anything. And what the program's about is they're getting a lot of foreign countries or more interested in our peanuts that we grow here in the United States of buying peanuts. But what they want is some information on how we farm, how much do we irrigate, how much chemicals and what kind of chemicals we're putting down on the peanuts and et cetera, et cetera. They just want a resume of our farmers. So it's very important that all peanut farmers do this to help with this deal, because the more peanuts we sell, maybe we get a little bit more money for the peanuts. So anyway, if you get a chance to fill that out, please do. I got mine filled out, and they'll send you an email back to verify this and that. And it took me a total of like 5-6 minutes to do this survey that they wanted. So it's very important to the peanut farmers to do this. So if you get a chance, or if you got any questions about it, give me a shout. I'll send you the link to it or text it to you, or you can call David at the Peanut Commission and get it done. Very important. All right, let's check out the current market. Sorry, I got a little cough going on today, so I apologize. Here's your Lipscomb Dealerships grain market update. You know, they got a little place over there in Sayre called Lipscomb Ford. They got Lipscomb Dodge and GMC here, and it's down there in Texas. I'm sorry, I haven't got it memorized yet, but they got a couple of dealers down there in Texas, and I think they have a UTV dealership there in Wichita Falls, if I'm not mistaken. I probably am, but you guys get the drift. December corn, nope, let's back up. March corn, 443, down 4.75. May is 451, down 4.5. Soybeans for January, 989. Down 6, March, 997, down 5.75. Soybean meal, January, 288.10, down 3. That's down $3, not 3 cents, but $3. March is $2.95.10, down three. Also, soybean oil, January $42.53, up nine. March is $42.83, up 12. Hard red winter wheat, March $5.60, down 6¾. Also down 6¾ for May at $5.68. Cotton $72.35 for July. West Texas Intermediate Crude Oil, January $70.34, up a nickel. Natural gas, man, this keeps on creeping up. January $3.48, up 11. February $3.22, up 6. Looks like the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ are all in the red today. And then it looks like live cattle and feeders are in the red slightly also. February lives, 191.27, down 10. April, 192.47, down 15. Feeders for January, 258.87, down 17. March, 258.95, down 42. February lean hogs, 84.42, up a nickel. If you guys haven't heard, the LLC deal that you're supposed to report by the end of the year, end of the month this month, or be fined $500-something a day, that's been put on hold temporary by a judge in Texas, but that doesn't mean it's going away. So I would advise you still get all your ducks in a row and be ready to turn that in when things get challenged or whatever they do in the court system. It is on hold for now, but it's not permanent. It's temporary. Just letting you know. The U.S. Senate has passed the Federal Disaster Tax Relief Act, H.R. 5863. The legislation, in addition to providing much-needed relief to victims of hurricane, also provides tax relief for cattle producers who receive payments due to wildfires. Previously, these payments counted as taxable income, meaning producers who were already suffered from disasters were hurt again by having their relief payments taxed. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association thanks Senate members for passing this legislation, which previously passed the U.S. House, and now it's going to go to the president for his signature. It is heartbreaking. If you've never been to one of those areas, especially after a fire or even a hurricane, it's emotional. To me, it's emotional to see what you see there. But it's heartbreaking to see your farm or ranch destroyed by a disaster, and it only adds to the pain when the payments meant to help you recover come with a tax bill, said NCBA president and Wyoming rancher Mark Elsley. Elsie, with the devastating hurricanes and wildfires in the cattle industry has suffered over the past several years, helping producers recover and stay in business is a top priority for the NCBA. The Federal Disaster Tax Relief Act will prevent recovery payments from being taxed and another tool for producers in rebuilding their livelihood. The Federal Tax Relief Act addresses limitations in casualty losses and allows producers to take greater deductions for disaster and related losses. Additionally, the bill excludes any payments received due to a qualified wildfire disaster, that is, from being counted as income for federal tax purposes. The bill applies to any wildfire payments received in tax years 2020 through 2025. Producers will have the opportunity to file with the IRS for relief payments received in these previous years. How about that? Let's see here. Before I go to break, I only got a few minutes left here. Do you guys remember what you were getting for your cattle back? You know what the market was on live cattle back in 2010? Hello, anybody remember? All right. The 52-week high in 2010 was 102.40. In 2014, it was 153. In 2017, it was 127. Then 2019, $129.95. 2021, $118.40. 2023, $167.50. 2024, this is the high, not the average, was the highest. The highest so far this year was $196.60. And I don't remember, what was it like back in, let me see here. Let's see if this chart goes way back. Oh, yeah, here we go. It goes back to 1980. $75.40 was the highest. So I keep reading these stories about when President Trump or President-elect Trump becomes president, you know, he's going to do all this immigration stuff, and a lot of our workers are going to leave that are working on a lot of these farms now because of their illegal status. And that's going to hurt the markets. And also these tariffs are going to hurt the markets. And how long can people afford to buy groceries in the grocery store, especially beef, because of the price of beef right now? Everything else besides beef has gone up. It's not just beef going up. It's the nature of the beast. Because I'll be honest with you, cattle producers now have a chance to actually turn a little bit of money. We'll make a little bit of money, and the prices are where they should be right now. In my books, and I know some people say, "Well, Jimmy, they're really high." Yes, they are, but they were 75. Live cattle was 75, 40. Back in the 1980, and let's see here. Let's go to the next page here, 2024. Let's go to 2024, and it's 184. It's gone up $1 a pound on the live weights. You know what equipment has done since 1980 compared to today? So, yeah, I honestly think it's where it needs to be. Grain prices for farmer, cotton prices, all those prices, they need to be double or triple what they are right now, and they're not. And I don't know. It just seems like they pick on beef when prices things are high, but prices for beef are where they need to be right now. Farmers need to turn a dime. They need to make some money to keep on surviving because things are getting tougher. Equipment prices and stuff are just getting stupid. And it's nobody's fault but the nature of the beast. And they talk, I read that article a while ago that meat processors are, you know, starting to crunch down on them. Well, what happened back here about 3 or 4 years ago when the farmer or the cattle producer, let me rephrase that, the cattle producer was losing his butt selling cattle no matter what, but the processors were making money. It's just the way it rolls. We're going to take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. And when we come back, I'm going to have Dennis Crow on the phone. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens, the owner of Galleria Furniture. Let us help you find your perfect mattress at the perfect price. Save on our entire line of spring air mattresses. Get 28% off any spring air mattress, including the copper and reserve line. And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price or it's yours for free. Come shop Western Oklahoma's largest furniture and appliance store, right next to Tractor Supply in Elk City.
This Christmas, shop small, shop local. Sassy Chic in downtown Sayre has Christmas savings throughout their store. Sassy Chic is truly a unique women's boutique with sass. From clothing to jewelry, from gifts to goodies, with all chic vibe, you'll be sure to find something for any lady on your list. You won't find a better place to give the gift of unique than at Sassy Chic, 125 East Main Street in downtown Sayre. Be sure to check out their 50% off rack. Make this Christmas Sassy Chic. Stop on in, you'll be glad you did, and find them on Facebook.
Anything you can get out and about and do in the public to keep yourself out there, seeing what's going on, and you're knowledgeable about what's going on. You have customers come in wanting to do something, open a business or whatnot. It might be nice to have a little insight on your side. They have business plans. It's probably rare to find a business plan that has every little in and out thought out. So if you know what's going on around town, there may be something you could share with them that might either alter their plan, make their plan a different direction, speed it up, slow it down. I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
If you're a hard-working farmer or rancher in need of a hard-working off-road vehicle, then Lipscomb Power Sports in Wichita Falls has the Can-Am side-by-sides you need to navigate your land and get your business done. With big year-end closeout savings on popular Commander, Maverick, and Defender models. Plus, with tax code 179, your business can immediately deduct the cost of your new Can-Am UTV this holiday season. Save more at Lipscomb Power Sports in Wichita Falls and LipscombPowerSports.com between now and year end.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 9th. 1,393 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 518 brought 332. 7 at 529 brought 333. 8 at 610 brought 291. 11 at 687 brought 258. 38 at 804 brought 256. 10 at 812 brought 246. 4 at 864 brought 250. 26 head of heifers at 495 brought 307. 10 at 530 brought 285. 8 at 604 brought 230. 22 at 779 brought 241.50. 10 of 844 brought 224, 3 at 935 brought 218, butcher cows were 52 to 128, butcher bulls brought 95 to 147, bred cows were 1800 to 2370, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sell every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check. That's a wrong town. Hang on here. Bear with me. I'm going to go with Putnam. Home of Benzie and Lori White. 55 degrees, feels like 55. The dew point's 24. Humidity's 30. The winds are out of southwest at 19 with wind gusts up to 25. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 43 degrees. Sunset at 5:22. 55 for a high today. Looks like you got there. Tonight, 41 for a low and mostly cloudy. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 59 with south winds. 15 to 21 with wind gusts up to 30 tomorrow. It's winter, people. The wind's going to blow. Well, you guys remember last year when I had a gentleman on here named Dennis Crow from Apache Co-op, and we were talking stickers, everybody's favorite subject? Well, he's back on here today. Thanks for coming on, brother. I got a little bit of bad connection with your phone on there. Are you on speaker by chance? Okay, there. I can hear you there. Yeah, very good. I got you there. Yeah, I tell you what, that was in probably one, when you came on last year, it was probably one of my top five shows and responses. I had people call me all year long. Hey, what was that guy's name that came on last year talking stickers? Everybody remembers stickers. Why is that? Right. And they, yes, and they are, well, so I had one guy call me. He said, you know, that guy was right. There's a sticker that the roots stay green year round. And I got to looking around my place because I got plenty. Sure enough, There is. You know, you were talking about it. What do you call that?
To take that perennial sandbird plant out is after it greens up is to hit it with some Roundup. That's going to be the only way that you can take that plant out because there's no other chemical that's going to do it. We ran into that issue here at Apache a couple years ago, and so we're kind of having to change the way we do things. We're having to kind of change things up and attack them.
Can you, since they're still, the base of them and the roots are still active, can you not hit them with Roundup during the winter, or is that a no-no?
I don't think that the the Roundup's going to get right down there to the rhizomes. From what I'm hearing, it's got to be a green plant.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
Now for those of you that do might have that in your hay meadows, what we've ran into here at Apache is after we swap that hay and bale it the first time, while that grass is short, we're coming there with anywhere from 10 to 12 ounces of 5-pound Roundup. May ding your Bermuda grass a little bit, but it'll sure enough get down there to those sandbars and attack that root system, and that's what you want to do. You've got to kill that plant, because if not, you're fighting a battle that will not end.
Yeah, I tried your deal you was talking about last year on, I think last year you said somewhere around 8 to 10 ounces or 10 ounces, whatever, and after I'm along my driveway, I got them really bad, and I got a long driveway up to the house. And I went through there after I mowed it the first time and hit. I think I hit it with 8 ounces of Roundup and some surfactant. It didn't hurt that Bermuda grass any at all, but it hammered those stickers.
So my question to you is, did they come back?
There was none that came back, and the plants that I sprayed, no. But they was still. We started getting those periodic rains during the summer. I mean, I love rain, don't get me wrong, but you know, it was getting hot and it was dry and hot and dry, and then we get a rain and get hot and dry again, and it seemed like there was stickers coming up from in the ground that might have been laying there for 10 years. I don't know, but they kept coming. But I got them again. I stayed after them.
Yeah, well, good deal. So last year when I was on the program, we talked a lot about soil fertility, and that still is the number one concern.
Okay.
I don't care if you've got a front yard, backyard, or a hay meadow, or just, you know, grazing pastures. You've got to get the fertility back into the soil. And we talked quite a lot about 9-23-30 last year. That is the most perfect fertilizer, winter fertilizer, that you can put on your yard or on your grazing land or also your hay meadows. And when I say 9-23-30, that's very little nitrogen. But what the fertilizer actually is half phosphorus and half potash.
Correct.
Another crop that responds real good to it is alfalfa. There's guys that put 9-23-30 on there year after year after year. Now, you know, we talked a lot about spraying the grass burrs in the pasture last year. Well, here at Apache, we had a couple of trials. We mentioned two chemicals last year, and the two chemicals that we mentioned was Diuron and Resilon.
Right.
And roughly at Apache here, we put out probably, somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,000 to 9,000 acres of Diuron, and probably 3,000 to 4,000 acres of Resilon. Now, what we have found out at Apache is, now both of these chemicals are excellent chemicals. They're completely kind of similar in nature, but yet they're different. In the tighter ground, where the ground is more tighter, Diuron by far is the better choice of chemical. We notice you get excellent weed control in that tighter ground with Diuron, and we ran that at 48 ounces per acre. We did slip some surfactant in there with it, but the results that we seen off of that was just tremendous. Now, I will tell you that we ran into some problems with some Diuron. Actually, we were just playing around with it. If you've got real sandy soils, and when I'm talking about sandy soils. I'm talking about blow sand.
Yep.
Diuron is not your chemical, because the reason why is diuron is too water soluble, and it will not stay in that top 2 or 3 inches of the soil. It's a cousin to atrazine, princip, and also simazine. But boy, in the tight land, you can't beat it, and you can't beat the weed control. Now, remember, if you're using diuron, you're going to have to make a second application, and this is where it gets a little bit tricky. You can only put diuron on that Bermuda grass once a year. So your first choice is going to be diuron. It's about half price. And then your next chemical is going to be Resilon. You've got to come back there and put something down to control that second flush that's going to germinate. Oh, just depends on weather conditions, probably June, July, somewhere in there. Now, on the other hand, when we talk about Resilon, what we did find out, you know, I mentioned earlier, we sprayed 3 ounces of Resilon on what I call blow sand. And Resilon is a lot more, well, it'll just hang around. It don't leach as bad and go down as the diuron. And when we ran the 3 ounces of Resilon, we got excellent results on the sandbar control. Now, keep in mind, both of these applications have to be out before Valentine's Day. I talked to a guy down in southeastern Oklahoma that was listening to your show last year, and he called me, and he was a little bit late getting it put out. He didn't put it down until the end of February, but he felt like that he probably got, he said he got at least 60% control by using the diuron. So, man, there is ways to attack them stickers. You just got to get on the schedule and get after it.
So both those chemicals, though, you want to put down before Valentine's Day. Is that correct?
Both of them are pre-emergence chemicals.
Yeah. Yes.
And correct. They do have to be put on, typically, say, right before Valentine's Day.
Okay. Then
Here at Apache, we've roughly got, I think about 12,000 acres on the books. But, you know, I still want to go back to the weed control on the diuron. It is unbelievable at 48 ounces, the weed control that you get with diuron. And I will tell you this, Jimmy, out of those 8,000 acres that we sprayed with diuron, we did not have to come back and spray them pastures anymore the following spring. I mean, they stayed clean. Now, there was a few weeds here and there, but for the most part, it stayed clean all through the summertime.
Well, I'm going to try some in that bottom pasture that I got my landlord there. It's, believe it or not, it's along the North Fork, which is sandy, but this pasture here in particular is actually semi-tight ground. It's not blow sand like right above it. So I'm going to try that because I was down there walking across there the other day deer hunting, and I was shocked at what's already growing.
Yeah, they're a nightmare, and you know it's kind of an ongoing deal. They say that sandbars can lay dormant in that soil zone for, you know, up to 7 years, and I believe it. One thing that we did run into that I don't think I mentioned last year, we have some producers down here that use anhydrous ammonia on their hay meadows. So here's the deal using the anhydrous. You've got to put your anhydrous down first and then your chemical. Because if you put that diuron down and you come back with that NH3 applicator, and you've already, when you pull in the field and put that applicator in the ground, you've already broke the barrier that's been laid. So
Yeah,
exactly. And we had that, there was a couple of producers that did that here at Apache last year. So it's very important that if you're thinking about using the NH3 on your grass, be sure to put it down first and your chemical second.
Okay, Dennis, I need to take a quick break here, and I'll come back, and I got a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind, if you got time.
Sure.
All right, we're going to take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. I got Dennis Crowell on the phone with me from Apache, from the Apache Co-op, and we're talking stickers. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix, or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is a lot more than just a cattle show. See for yourself January 4th through the 16th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sale of elite genetics, something for every operation. Enjoy the commercial cattleman's luncheon January 9th at 11 a.m. with the commercial female replacement sale at 1 p.m. For a full schedule and sale information, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mm-hmm. All right, welcome back. Before we get back to Dennis, here's your Ag weather update brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. The weather for southwestern Oklahoma, I picked the big city of Apache. It's 56 degrees there, 25 is the dew point, humidity's 29, the winds are out of the south-southwest 19 with wind gusts up to 25, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 44 degrees there, sunset 522, 57 today, 46 tonight, and 60 tomorrow, but it's going to be a little breezy. Well, on the phone with me right now is Mr. Dennis Crow from the Apache Co-op in Apache, Oklahoma. Again, Dennis, thanks for coming on today.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure to be here. Just want to help you guys make some decisions that you need to make. I want to go back and talk just a little bit about, Diuron and Resilon some more. I don't know about out there in Elk City, but we had a very wet spring, and there is a particular grass that gets in these hay bettas, and it's called foxtail. And let me tell you that the horse people, they do not like foxtail grass because what I hear, it causes problems in the horse's stomach. Now, so we did experiments on foxtail grass, and we had we've used Resilon and we used Diuron. Again, Resilon at 3 ounces and the Diuron at 48 ounces. And what we found the best control on the foxtail grass was the Resilon.
Okay.
That seemed to do the best job. It kind of looked like the Diuron didn't affect it, and I don't know if that's because we had too much rain and the Diuron has left us. I don't know, but we sure had better luck with the Resilon.
Well, the foxtail's a pain in the butt. Yeah, you're right. The horse people hate foxtails just as much as they do blister bugs in your alfalfa hay. So they do not like it. And, you know, as a dog owner, bird dog owner, I hate foxtail too, because any guys that's got bird dogs or hunting dogs of any kind, they go through foxtail deals sniffing at. It gets hung up in their nasals, and it's a bad deal.
Yeah, one thing too, Jimmy, I might mention, I had a homeowner call me last year down around, Altus, somewhere along that direction, Altus, Gould, in the Hollis area, that had listened to this show. And he called me and he said, man, he said, I've messed my wife's front yard up. And I said, oh, no. I said, what happened? And he said, well, I sprayed the front yard with Resilon. He said, I don't have no grass now. Folks, let me say this very slow and very clear. Resilon is not made for a front yard because it is too potent, and if you don't know what you're doing, boy, things can go south on you very quick.
Yes.
Now, there is some chemicals on the market for you homeowners. We talked a lot last year about Crew herbicide. It's a dry chemical that you spread on with a spreader. Also, there's one called Barricade. It's also a dry formulation. And then there's a liquid called Spectacle G. And these first three chemicals that I mentioned, they're very good, and they cost a lot of money. So I guess you pay for what you get. I've had some experience with that Crew herbicide made by Corteva, and in the dealings that I've had with it, that's probably by far the best pre-emergence yard fertilizer that I've ever run across.
Okay.
When you put that stuff down, I mean, it will last forever. And when I say forever, I'm talking 4 to 5 months control. So, and Barricade is probably right there underneath it. Now, there's a yellow herbicide called Pendulum. It's an old yellow herbicide that's been around forever. I'm not a big fan of it. It's good, but it just don't stay very long in the soil.
Yeah, that matters a lot. I got a question off the text line for you, if you don't mind answering this. And you can you can say this for both the Resilon and the Dizon, however you say that. It's can you put this down while grazing?
So there is no grazing restrictions on either one of these chemicals. You can only put the Diuron down once, and that's while the Bermuda grass is dormant. Now, the Resilon, you're going to make that first application when that grass is dormant, and then you're going to come back, middle of May, just somewhere where you could catch a rain. And, you know, of course, by then the grass is green. So, no, there's not an issue on grazing neither one of these chemicals.
Okay. You just don't want to spray the cattle with it, right? Well, like anything.
Right.
And that was a question. That was one of my questions,
you know,
I had for you.
We go back. It's so that Resilon runs about, somewhere between $11 and $12 an ounce. We just do the math right quick. You're up to $36 for just the chemical. And man, that Diuron, you could buy it all day long for $24, $25 a gallon. And you're using 48 ounces to the acre. So again, If you have that tie ground, Diuron that first time around is just so much cheaper, and boy, it's very effective.
Okay, very good. Well, Dennis, man, time flew by here pretty quick. I got the music playing, the show's over. One quick question. With either one of them, how much surfactant do you recommend putting per acre?
Probably about a quart per 100. But, you know, on the Resilon, I would use no surfactant. Okay. I'll just put down straight chemical.
Okay. All right. Well, Dennis, thanks. We're going to talk to you again next year.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm going to put my phone number out there. It's 580-704-3277. You can call me anytime you want. And I'll do my best to get you an answer or to help you in any way that I can.
All right. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it.
We're like the software on your computer, helping you get the job done. 96.5 KECO, Elk City.
FBI under scrutiny. Lisa Brady, Fox News. A new report from the Justice Department Inspector General says the FBI should have done more to collect intelligence before the Capitol riot, and that 26 FBI